Welcome to The New Exchange, a podcast series that explores how everyone has a story to tell. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and this is The Off-Season, a series of talks I'll be releasing on the road to Season 6. I feel a big sense of gratitude towards today's episode because it's one of those talks that are part of the beginning of an artist's journey. Saya is a West Coast-based musician that writes from a purely authentic place. What initially intrigued me about their music was how unapologetic they were towards conveying their emotions. I don't think I'm breaking new ground by pointing out how for the last few years, the world has shifted into this place where we're asked to appear perfect at all times. Historically, it's always been art that's been the place where we as humans can look at each other and think to ourselves, I get what you're saying. Saya seems to strikingly understand that with songs that convey anger, pain, pettiness, and tragedy with an unflinching resolve. They also care about having a good time, about having a laugh, and by viewing life in a technicolor way, which are all the elements you'll find within today's chat. It was my first time chatting with Saya, and I definitely hope it won't be the last. By the way, I recently started a radio show called New Exchange Radio. It's an extension of the podcast that features me chatting about songs that I love and playing them live. You can hear the first four broadcasts of that radio show within the feed for this podcast over on Spotify. Be sure to subscribe on the app you're listening to this on and to also rate and leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. Those ratings help us independent creatives in a big way, so if you like what you hear, do let me know about it. This is The New Exchange with Saya. Enjoy. I had a bit of excitement when I saw that one of your favorite albums is Diamond Eyes by Deftones.
Yes. Oh, I love Chino, the GOAT.
Oh my god. Like for me, I've been a fan of them since I was a teenager, and they're like one of the few bands that I've taken with me from like being a teenager, a college student, to like being an adult. And I feel like one of the craziest things about them is that they show there's so many different ways to like write songs. And I wonder if that was the case for you and like what you like about them as an artist.
Yes, because I remember first time ever listening to the song Sex Tape off that album. Mm. And I was with my friends and I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And then I like dabbled in all their other like universes, and it really inspired me as an artist. Like I was just like, wow. And when I wrote about Chino, I remember doing a lot of research that week because I wanted to like not get anything incorrect, you know? Yeah. And basically, he was just talking about like how he doesn't like the Black Eyed Peas. And it's just like, well, they just make like this happy like pop music. I'm trying to make music that don't make sense. Like I'm trying to make music that makes sense, doesn't make sense. And I'm just like, that is amazing because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to just be in this ethereal land where it's just like a bunch of fairies and like people in gold plates and like it just seems like heaven, but it's just on earth.
Yeah, and like honestly, like I mean, I'm going to use this to like use them again to piggyback into you, like what you've been doing, what your sound is. But how incredible is it to, because, you know, for anyone listening who's never listened to Deftones, I think what I mean that's really shocking is that a lot of the songs are very aggressive. But if you listen to the lyrics, it's like he's a striking, sensitive human being. It has to be quite amazing to know that you can approach songwriting from a place of sensitivity and like tenderness, but still have a bit of muscle within the sonic nature of it.
Yeah, you gotta, sensitivity is like strong in its own emotion, like all emotions. Like I was like thinking about it this morning. Like I'm not Christian or anything.
Yeah.
But like this is a good like little example because I grew up Christian and like I read the Bible like so many times. And then the Bible it's like says like no sin is like a different weight to any other sin. And I feel like any emotion hasn't like have way to any emotion. Like you can be passionate about all emotions and like you can be passionate about being tender. Like, and like that's what I feel like Chino really exudes in his music is his passion about his words. And like I like in one of my songs I'm talking about throwing a volleyball and I'm so passionate about it. You know, like I'm just like I'm throwing a volleyball, but like that shit gonna hit them. Yeah. You know, like it's just like you gotta be okay with just like just fully letting yourself engulf into that emotion.
Yeah, and I feel like so much of your life has probably led you to that point. Like, yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, you're based in like Phoenix, right?
Yeah, I was. I went to school in Phoenix, and I like graduated out there, and I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, this is something that I was quite intrigued to ask you about because one of my friends is a queer journalist who lives in Phoenix now, but he's moved around quite a bit, and I remember over the years he's talked to me about what it's like to be there and live a life that's considered different than the norms of what's around you. I know you've also lived in LA, I think, right?
Yeah, I live in LA right now.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The city of LA.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, that's fucking mega.
Yeah, like Pico Union right out there.
Yeah. Do you feel like eventually going to LA had to do with that for you? Like being in a place that probably wasn't as receptive and welcoming of who you were? Or do you feel like maybe things have been changing over there?
Arizona? Yeah. I love that place. I love that place a lot. It's a weird place. Yes, it's a very weird place, but I went back recently and I was like, wow, this is a beautiful, weird place. Because if you don't look at all the other stuff like that people like say about Arizona and you like just live your life there.
Yeah.
And it's like be with the people that treat you right and not trying to fit in. Like, you'll find your place. And that's the cool thing about Arizona is like I found my place by just being around people that made me feel very soft and tender and like made me feel like a human. Like, it took me a few tries.
Yeah.
Took me a couple years. And then eventually I found that friend group when I was like 18, 19, but it still was beautiful, you know? Like, I loved, and even that, man, I could, can you, oh, your pronouns are?
Oh, yeah, I go by he.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Just like, I just love that place. I don't know. It's a really beautiful place. I think I fit in really perfectly there because, I wasn't trying to fit in. That's why I fit in. Yeah. I was just making music and all my friends were making music and we were just like, it's our life.
I love that for you, honestly, because I when I was a teenager, we had family friends that lived in Mesa. So we used to go to Mesa quite a bit. And it is kind of like I have some memories of just being there and like how you could feel so far removed from everything. But the people there, it's like you were saying, I've experienced this in a similar way where it's like if you find people that you become friendly with and you care about, they kind of almost go out of their way to make you feel included a bit. I feel like I found that there too.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is there anything about Arizona you miss when you're not there? Like, is there anything you miss about it now while you're in LA?
I miss hiking. I feel like I feel like you can hike in LA, but like,
it's really not the same. How is it not the same? Because there's probably like a couple people in the same place.
Well, I'm biased. I haven't been hiking in LA yet because I've been so busy working on this album.
Okay.
I just miss hiking because it was more accessible. Like, I don't know. Like, I live smack dead city.
Okay, so like LA, you probably have to drive to a place to hike, right?
Yeah, and there's always traffic, and I'm just like,
doesn't LA have mountain lions too when you're hiking? That's not a thing.
Do they? That's scary. So.
No, thank you. I have friends who hike, and I'm just like, I don't understand why you don't. Why is it scary?
Mountain lions? I gotta search this up. What?
I'm gonna continue asking questions, but feel free to react once you see like the indication, because I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's true though. But you know, when I was researching for this chat, I saw a piece of you in Spin where you said that I usually don't quote things like this, but I really want to explore it with you. I saw a quote where you said that your goal with music, if there was to be a goal, is to create something that can let you see. Like, it can let you be unapologetically Black and showcase that, like, Black, non-binary, and people who are unique can just function without a label. To not only live, but to thrive within oneself. And it really spoke to me because I think a lot of the times people utilize identity within a very eternal way, but they don't consider the service it could be for other people out there. And I'd really like to explore that with you. Like, when do you feel you became aware that that was important for you? And what I mean specifically by that is to have intention with your art, because that's what I heard with that, that intention matters.
That's a good one. I just be saying smart stuff sometimes. that's a joke. Honestly, so you're asking when I felt like I could be like that and felt like I had the privilege to do that, right?
Yeah, completely.
Okay. So I don't know. I was kicked out of my parents' house at a young age and they never really like understood me anyway. Like my stepdad and my mom, like they kind of just like didn't really care for me to be an artist, you know. They wanted me to be an athlete and all this other stuff and wanted me to do everything else, you know. They're like, art, you're good at art, your art teacher's like, yo, like in second grade you like painted like a tree, like a cool tree, and you don't want to, like, we're gonna keep you away from art, we're gonna make you play football. And I think as I grew up I started to lose love for stuff like that. But like, I love being athletic. Like, I'm very athletic. I'll beat you in a race. I'll beat anybody in a race. Race me, Usain Bolt. like as I got older, like I started like having my own free will and like I was being exposed to so much art, especially like with social media, like I talk about in another interview. I was like, wow. There's so much to this world that is like so artistic and it's so much more beautiful than having them run on a red track and around in circles or like playing on a green field, throwing a ball around and slapping each other's butts. Like, that shit's stupid. And I was like, I'd rather go slap my friend's butt on a good song like that, you know. But I feel like once like I got kicked out and like realized that art was my passion, that's when I was able to like understand like true expression, and especially being a Black person. It's just like people say that how do I explain it? This is for anybody. This is not just Black people, but like things brainwash you, and like they brainwash you to just do what's in a box. And like I even have trouble with that sometimes, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, your last songs were like pop punky, like this and this and that, like you made punk, crazy punk music, and I feel like I had to keep exuding that, and I put myself in that box. But I feel like just being expressional like will just help you like get out of any box that you're in, gender wise anything. Like, just be expression, show your expression, don't be afraid to show expression, and don't be scared.
That's very beautifully put.
Don't just be scared of them athlete niggas, because they weird, bro. Like, seriously though, be afraid of them.
Do you know what I've explored? It's true. Like, I've explored a variation of this with some other people that I've talked to over the years, like especially lately, and I find myself very drawn to this idea of the fact that, you know, a lot of the times we gravitate towards art because we're witnessing someone express themselves, attempting to be themselves. And there's this weird kind of paradox within how we live our lives, where I think we respond to that because in our everyday lives and like the minutia of it, you don't really feel like people are able to do that. But it's kind of funny that we're drawn to that. It's almost like I've gotten obsessed with that term, breaking the matrix, where it's like sometimes I feel artists, that's what they're allowed to do. They're able to like break through the matrix and be like, this is what happens when you're yourself. And a lot of the times us people look at that like, oh, that's possible. It's just a weird type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I feel like there's no excuse, because everybody, like I worked 9-to-5 and I was still be able to express myself. Like I would work 9-hour shifts and I would go back to the crib, don't give a fuck that I gotta get up at 8 a.m. fuck that shit, stand up, making music, I'll fall asleep when I need to fall asleep.
Like, look what it's brought in you. Like,
Just express yourselves, guys. Express yourself.
It's possible.
Added to the podcast. I got excited.
No, that's what it's here for. Like, please, like you're more than allowed. You know, just going back to that quote that I brought up from Spin, there was just one thing I wanted to point out with it. Because personally, for me, I could say the thing I deeply admired the most was the last bit, where it was like you said that you wanted people to know that they could thrive within themselves. And I think many people have an idea of wanting to change the world around them, but they forget the aspect of being able to do that is to arrive to a place of self-acceptance internally. Like, it's almost like you can't expect people to embrace you at a certain point if you can't embrace yourself. And I wonder, was there an experience in your life or several that you witnessed that kind of taught you the importance of that? Because I think it's really beautiful that you have an awareness of that.
That's a really hard question. And I don't know why it is, but it's just like, I don't know. A huge thing that happened recently was like a lot of stuff with my mom. Like, my mom is sick. She has MS. And I love her dearly. But there was a time where she told me, I don't want to.
No, I appreciate
that. That's why it's hard to answer. I don't know why, because that's like the biggest thing that made me was like, yo, you got to love yourself so you can help these people that you dearly. Like, I don't know. Like, I've talked to my mom probably twice in the last, like, since it happened. And I don't know when it happened, because like it was last year. And like, to be honest, like last year, I don't really remember that much, because I was just like, loss, you know, just like big loss. And like, since I was lost, like, I was just like wanting everybody to, like, I don't know, help me out of it, you know, like everybody around me helped me out of it. And then I, like, at the end of it all, I was like, let me move to LA. As soon as I moved to LA, like, I feel like I remember every single day, you know, like, because that's, I'm like, time to like do this for myself now. Like, I go to the studio for myself. I don't go to the studio for my abusive producer that I used to work with last, like, in my, when I was making my other projects and stuff like that. Like, I am doing this for me, and that's what it's all about. Because at the end of the day, if I'm not doing this shit, imagine if I just stop and I want to go cry in a corner for 6 months. Or go cry at my dad's in the corner for 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
That's nothing's gonna happen with that. Like, I gotta like go cry in the studio instead.
well, mate, respectfully, if you allow me for a second, like, I usually, when it comes to like having talks like this, I usually try to go out of my way to not pinpoint or acknowledge somebody's age unless it's like relevant. But in relation to what you just described of like having that journey and coming to the other side of it, I mean, I can't begin to express the value in your life with that, having experienced that now in a younger, you know, point in your life, as opposed to later. Because, like, pretty much the journey you just described, I see it with some friends of mine, and it's like, who are like a little bit older, and it's a bit disorienting, because I think in a weird way, what the thing that stuck out to me the most in everything you said was wanting people around you to like help fix you or help make you feel better, but then realizing that's not what they could do. There's people who will never realize that. So I think it's very powerful that you did, and that you're able to go somewhere new. And like, it seems like such a small thing, but changing your environment, it's so important. Like,
yeah. And I do love my friends. I love everybody that's been around me, you know?
Oh, of course. Like, yeah.
And like the people that did help me, you know, like, I appreciate them so much to all of that, because they're the people that actually like snapped me up. Cause I was going to be that person that was sleeping in the corner, you know, cause there was some people that helped me out, you know,
yeah, but of course. Yeah.
I had to make the initiative, you know.
Completely.
I had to do what I needed to do to better my art. Like, I personally think I'm about to do some crazy shit. I don't care what nobody says. Like, this new music that I'm making right now, like, I'm not trying to promote it or anything. Like, I really don't care. It's me loving myself and embracing my art, because I don't care what nobody fucking says. Like, I know that I'm about to do some crazy shit. And it's heating up, because I've done, like, when I first moved to LA, yo, like, I don't know if there's an interview or anywhere in the world, but I was like, when I first started making music, I spent 8 months in my dad's crib because my stepdad kicked me out. And whatchamacallit, I stayed 8 months in my dad's crib, and I was like, I'm gonna learn how to make music, since everybody doubted me. And like, my ex doubted me, my stepdad trying to make me go work at a factory. Like, I was just like, nah, fuck that. And my dad was like giving an open hand. He was just like, you want to create art, son? Come here. I flew all the way back to Pittsburgh, and like I sat down for 8 months and created music until I was able to go back or somewhere. I don't know, go anywhere. I didn't know what I was going to do. I wanted to go back to Arizona. I had like a bunch of friends there, but I didn't know that when I went back to Arizona that my life would completely change just because of music, you know? Like, it was just like, it was beautiful, you know? And that made me realize that nothing is different. I mean, nothing stays the same, nothing's different. But that's what it feels like now. It feels like that same scenario when I went to my dad's crib and made music for 8 months straight, and then came out of that 8 months, I was tortured. Oh yeah, trust me. I was tortured during that 8 months with my dad, like heartbroken, like not being able to make friends because I was like, I was a weird kid. Like I make, like, I don't know. I'm very introspective. Like I'm in my head all the time. So I'm like always just like in my head, and then someone might come talk to me and they'd be like, oh, like they'd be out their head and they'd be like, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, just like some deep shit. But that's what I feel like it's like right now, like that 8 months, because it feels like it's boiling right now and it's like getting hot and the noodles are getting nice and soft, you know, like the Maruchan, you know, about to put the seasoning packet in it, throw a little sriracha. I'm really excited.
I love the sound of that. And I feel like it's important in a context like that to like, you know, continue to keep it a secret in the sense of like the details of those songs, that those songs will come out. Because in this bit now, I want to start asking you about some of the songs you've already released, like songs that I've heard. Because the first tune of yours I heard was, oh, by the way, before I ask you about this, might I just add, I love when artists can openly say they love what they're making. It's kind of shocking how often people struggle with that, to just acknowledge that they're making something and they genuinely like it. So big ups to you.
Well, there's balance too, because I hate what I'm making too, but oh, I love okay. So and there's a balance to it. It's like yin and yang. Like you gotta hate something to like something, you know? That's like, yeah, how you gotta be sad to be happy. And like I hate some of my songs and those shit's not coming out. I'm not putting out shit that I don't love, you yeah. feel me? Like that's like, that's what I like. Like especially like even like with songs, like I'm very, very like I keep that shit hostage until yeah it's perfect. You know, like I have to call. It's supposed to be my next single. It's supposed to drop like mad soon. But deadass, like I can't get the mix right. I can't get the vocals right. I can't get like the guitar and the chorus right. It's just like it's just not working. And I'm just like, ah. And I'm like going back and forth. Like I'm like, do I even love this song anymore? Like, I love it because I'm giving it nurture and care. So like, you just gotta keep loving the things you hate. And
it says a lot.
And you might end up loving it. And that's why I love all my art. So
yeah, that's a really beautiful way to put it. Like I was gonna get into real quick, the first tune of yours I heard was I Hate You and You Hate Me Too. And I mean, talk about a situation many could relate to. Cause what was it like, tell me, like what was it like for you to build music around the lyrics to this one? Cause I imagine it was probably challenging, or at least not an obvious thing to do, to find like a melody for some of the words that you were saying. Yeah.
I was like, Faye Webster. I was like, we need it now. Immediately got in the studio, we played, I was watching, oh yeah, I watched Mean Girls.
Okay.
And I was listening to Faye Webster. And you know that song that's in Mean Girls? I won't play it, but it's
Faye Webster is amazing though.
Yes, I love Faye. I was like listening to her for a very long time and I wanted to learn how she made music because I didn't understand. I was like, she's just speaking and it just works. And I was like, let me just speak.
Yeah. And what's interesting with like her lyricism, it's like she's telling you a lot, but not really. Like you think she's like revealing a lot, but then if you actually listen to the words, like, you know, listen back to the words, you realize like she's still quite vague. And it's kind of like wild she's able to evoke that feeling of being confessional without really telling you much.
Yeah. What? I can't find it. I'm really angry.
But yeah, a song from Mean Girls.
It's that song from Mean Girls. It's that scene where they are... I was looking at the wrong freaking... It's this one.
What's it called? Oh! God, is it God is a DJ?
It's built this way. All right, let me stop it before we get in trouble.
Yeah, nice one for the save there, though, Jenna, though. Thank you as well.
Yeah, it was there. I heard that song and I was watching that movie, and like that song is just really inspired by the like the movie, like the moment where like I hate you, like
yeah,
fuck you, like type shit. And they're just throwing the paperboards and stuff like that. I was like, damn, this feels like my life right now. So I was like, let me go to the studio. And then like the music around it was like Faye Webster, like inspired and like very Nirvana-esque. Like we were like, I was listening to a lot of Kurt Cobain as well. So it was like Faye Webster and Kurt Cobain. And I just like got that aspect of everything, because that's like why there's an acoustic guitar in it. That's why there's a piano in it. And then there was a little slide guitar riff on it. And it just like, it was beautiful. It was very raw. In my opinion, that song is like one of my rawest songs. Like it sounds like, it just sounds raw to me. You know, like I'm just like, I'm in pain. And it's like, and it's because slightly misunderstood, you know? Because like in that movie, like, whatchamacallit, was it Lindsay Lohan? Is that Lindsay Lohan?
It is Lindsay Lohan, indeed, yeah.
Lindsay Lohan, yeah. So like Lindsay Lohan is like kind of just misunderstood. She's just like this kid that came from Africa and she got like cool, you know? And she didn't know how to handle it, you know? And like, I feel like that like kind of like is my aspect. Like I come from Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, and I got cool, you know? Like, yeah. Like that shit's weird. Like there's people cool in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, but like, that's the slums. Like I'm like, that's my hood. And like, I was where I was born in, you know? So like, yeah. I didn't have friends either growing up. So like, that's what that song's about.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's accepting the fact that like, oh wait, you can be cool, but not be a stupid little bitch.
You know? Well, so, something that I find wild about that song, like that I think is indicative with a lot of your other songs as well, is that like, I mean this in the context of the lyrics specifically, like what you're conveying in the lyrics, not like the words themselves, but like the emotion and the sentiment behind them. Because I find it fascinating that you're able to kind of convey that sometimes being a human being can be messy, like when it comes to our emotions, to coming like when we're interacting with other people, like when we have relationships. And like, I think what's kind of fascinating within that is that many people might find that messiness almost loaded and want to like turn away and ignore it. But I think you do a great way of being like, no, this is like real shit that we feel sometimes. And do you feel like that's something you're aware of your songwriting? Like something you want people to notice, that it's okay to acknowledge that our emotions are messy sometimes?
Yes. Like I was actually just thinking about this, and it's funny. Like, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but like when you were like, humans are messy, like just like being a messy human, like, so we're going back to Arizona, right? And I had my friend group. It was like my friend Avery Justice. He owns their space. Like, just like my OG friend group, Skates and everybody. And I remember one time we went to this party, right? As a kid, I never drank. I never smoked. Like, I wasn't that kid, you know? Like, I was too Christian. Like, I was like, you know, like, I was too lost in that sauce, which is a messy sauce. But I remember going to this party and I remember telling everybody, I was like, I'm going to talk to someone new. But I don't drink. So hear me out. I don't drink.
Okay.
We go to this party and we get to the door and this like big dude is just like, $15 to get in. Da da da. And me and my friends look at each other and it's like, we all broke. Like, this is before anything happened. Like, we all just broke. We just got no money. Like, we're just like, like, what? And my homie walks up, he's like, yo, I got $8. And he's like, all right, for sure. He lets us in. So we get in.
Okay.
And first, I've never drank before, but my friend Avery was like, just take a shot. Let's take a shot, blah, blah, blah. So we all take a shot. And me, like, not really getting drunk before, I was just like, okay, you know? And I got a little drunk, right?
Yeah.
So long story short, once I got drunk, I decided I wanted to talk to everybody.
Oh, so it went from one person to everybody.
It went to one person to everybody. But then I remember this exact instance when I walked up to these, like, a group of Black people, like, group of my, like, just homies, you know? And I walked up to them, and I was just like, yo, what's up, guys?
And, great starter. What's up, dude?
Like, literally.
Great launching pad.
Like, bro, like, I'm Black, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, what's up, guys? And they were like, who the fuck is you, bro? And, like, I was just like... I was like, oh no. Like, yeah. And I got afraid. and that's just like me being a messy human, like, you know, like just me being messy and scary, you know. I was being scared for no reason.
Yeah.
And just like in that instance, I was just like, wow, okay, you know, let me tie this back in my music, you know, like I think about it now, like. I've done that now. Like, I've done that to, like, random people. Yeah. Like, I'll get a little bit tipsy, and I'll walk up to, like, I remember walking up to Rayami once. And I was like, what's your name?
What they say?
And I was scared, you know? Like, I did that because I was scared. Like, I knew that was Rayami. Like, I just was scared, you know? Like, I didn't really know, like, what the fuck to do in that situation, you know? Like, I was just like, what's your name? And I don't remember what she said her name was. I think she said, I don't know if it was, I don't think she said Rayami, but she, like, she was cool though. She was cool at the end of it. She was like, I don't want to be at this party anyway. And we just stood next to each other for a little bit. And there's just like, it's just been happening here, you know, like, I don't know. Everything ties together. And, like, I don't even know why. I just, like, sometimes I ramble. Sorry, I ramble.
No, I mean, it's good. Honestly, it's good for a podcast. And, yeah, like, just as a tidbit, yeah, you're talking about the musician Rayami, in case people listening don't know who you're talking about. Like, really cool stuff.
Yeah, he makes really good music. But I just, like, I mean, like, in my, like, back in my, like, teenage years, I used to, like, bump her shit, like, crazy.
Oh, man. Like,
I was, like, it was, like, 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
And... that was like, that shit was lit, you know, like, I was like, wow, like, in that moment, I was just like, whoa, you're really right in front of me, bro, like, now, like, this is weird, like, I feel like the podcast is, like, the beginning of, say, living in LA, and then, and then we come back, like, next year, and I, like, have moved, just like, man.
I want to ask you about a few more songs. I love seeing that. Oh, no, yeah, you're good. Yeah,
I'm manifesting that I moved to London, and I'd be like, man, LA was lit. We blew up. That's crazy out there.
Yeah, I mean, London's one of those cities. I mean, it's a second home to me. It's like, it's almost next to impossible to live there without roommates. So unless you're cool with living with, like, four or five other people, then I'd say definitely do it.
I think I'm down.
Yeah, It could be a vibe.
I used to have, like, there was a time in my life where I had seven people in my house.
Really?
It was like we were all musicians and artists. Like, there was two non-musicians, but it was, I swooned, like, me and my friend Pat, we, like, moved into this crib, and, like, then I invited my boy Riley to move in, and then I invited this weirdo to move in that we don't fuck with no more, but I'm not gonna even say his name because fuck that dude.
You know, do you know the band Metric?
Metric, no.
Yeah, they're a Canadian indie band, and they've been around for a really long time, and I've done some work with them, and I remember because I was a fan before I started working with them, so I was, like, asking them questions about their early days, and they're from Toronto, but they moved to New York and got their start in New York in the early 2000s, and there was a time where they lived in the same loft apartment with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs and Interpol and TV on the Radio. It's like a bunch of them living in a loft, like all these four bands and that. And I remember I asked them once, I was like, God, like, that seems so amazing, like, all you creative people under one roof, like, that must have been the best thing ever. And they were like, yeah, we're, like, broke, like, that's why we all live together.
Like, yeah, bro, it was $200, bro. It was so amazing. Like,
it seems like an amazing story, but it's like, no, we just couldn't afford to do anything else, literally.
Literally, like, rent was only $200 a month. And, like, I was just like, I worked at this place called Ellie's Brunch and Cafe. And I was just like a hostess. Yeah. And I was like trying to, like, I don't know, just trying to make way. And like, it was cool because like the more people we had in our crib, the less rent we gotta pay.
Yeah, it's what you do.
I was just inviting all the artist homies in, and it was like, at one point, rent was only $100. We were just like literally broke. We were broke, and I came from like right before that house. I was in a hotel, so and like the crazy thing about that is that the house was cheaper than the hotel. Like, I had to work full time to pay for the hotel.
Oh my God.
I lost my job at the house. I didn't have a job for like months. And I was just finding out how to get $100, you know? Like, yeah. I was just like, we're making music right now.
you're living the life. But before you go.
That was a blessing, though. That's definitely a blessing that was like came in disguise. Like, even though like we had a weird living with us, like, we got rid of him.
it's all good in that. Like, I have one more thing I want to ask you about, and funny enough, I feel like it's kind of a song I want to ask you about that allow us to talk about things in a wider way, because I really liked seeing how people have reacted to your tune 5 Minutes Till Dawn, because I feel like that one really much conveys how eclectic you are with your sound. Like, I think it's a great example of what you're able to do as a songwriter, where for me, it feels like all sounds are on the table. Like, nothing's off the table in terms of what you could explore. And it's also wild to me, like, how simple of a song that is. And I wonder if that's something that also excites you, like these two things, knowing that one, you could get like a message out there in a very simple way. And two, knowing that you don't have to be confined by a specific like genre, specific walls in that.
You know, it's funny. Usually I don't do that because I don't know why, but I was sick that day.
Oh, when you made the song.
Like, I was sick that day and I was just like, I don't want to be in the studio. But like Dane's Blood and Amon were there. And I was like, yo, I still want to make a song with y'all because I love y'all though.
Yeah.
So like, let's just like, let's be as simple as possible. I was just freestyling. I feel better alone. Because I was like so much, dude, I remember that camp. Like, I'm so blessed to have this camp. Like, I'm extremely grateful for everything that I've been through.
Yeah.
But tell me why I was talking to like 4 different producers, 4 different sessions in the same house, bouncing back between sessions. Like, I was having fun. Like, hear me out. But basically, I remember just like that was the last session of the night. And I really just wanted to get a good song that day. And I was like thinking too hard the whole day. And I feel like I didn't get anything good that day. And I just like, when we got to that set point in the session, I was like, I'm sick. I'm tired. I didn't have COVID. I was just like, because I'm allergic. I think I'm allergic to the ocean. I don't know why, but every time I swim in the ocean, every time I'm around the ocean, I get sick. And we were in Malibu right next to the ocean. So like the ocean was like right out the window.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just like, man, stuffy. Like, I felt like I was just dry, you know? So like, I was just like, I need to go to bed. Like, let's just try to make something simple. Let's just have a little bit of fun with this. And Dan was like, cool. So that's how 5 Minutes to Dawn was made, because it's like, we tried so hard to like do something big, and then like, we ended up just like thinking simpler. And it was just like, oh, that wait, that was the big thing today. And I've been learning to accept that. Like, even with my album, like, I have this song called Baby Boy on my album, and it's on a deluxe though, not on the real album, but it's on a deluxe. It's called Baby Boy.
Good cover.
And just like, I went to the studio and was like, yo, Jack, let's make mediocre music right now. Let's make mediocre music. Let's make the simplest shit. Same guitar, same drum. Never switch up. We're not doing nothing different. We're going straight hard to the head.
Yeah.
And Jack was like, okay. And that's what I've been like thinking like lately about this, like everything, like especially like ending off this album, like even like with the ballads and stuff that I'm working on, I'm trying to like keep it simple. Like, I'm not trying to create the craziest thing, because I have a crazy mind as is, and like the fact that like my mind is crazy is gonna make it seem not simple. Like I really like, I feel like people don't get like I feel like Tom York. He's like very like, it's like Tom York is simple, bro. Like, people like, Radiohead is so crazy different. No, It's so simple, but Tom is fucking weird. So it's not, and it makes it like super like, it makes it all beautiful. At the, like, I'm not saying it's not, all right, that was like crazy disrespectful.
No, it's true. No, it's true.
Like,
it's true.
But a lot of their music is simple. Like, no, well, you know,
I
mean, like it's,
arguably it has, like, respectfully, and I say this as a fan, arguably it has to be to have reached so many people that it has. Like, there's a science to it in a way.
Yeah, there's a sonic to simplicity, and that's what I've been realizing. And like, once I like realized that, I've been making like these hits, like my own hits. I don't care what nobody says. Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
Something I feel, I'm just like, yo, this hits. Like, this hits my heart. Like, I love this. Like, yesterday, like, I was in a session with Patrick Lehan, and I never met him before in my life. And he was like, do you play? And I was like, yeah, I don't know how to play guitar at all. I have a guitar. So I dropped D the guitar, and then, like, we just, like, made this, like, really cool indie rock song. And it was, like, the first time that I actually played the full chords on a guitar song. Like, I was like, my first time, I was like, I didn't ask for help. Like, I just like played the guitar, and he recorded it on the mic, and then I sang on it. And that was like the first time I ever did that in another session. Like, I produce a lot of my own stuff by myself on my laptop with the guitar. That's like probably where the practice comes from. But basically, just like, that was my first time actually making a song where the guitar is like all me. And I'm like, I might put this out. Like, I might actually do that. Like, that was a crazy accomplishment yesterday. Like, I was just like, wow. And we kept it simple. Like, it's like a simple indie rock song. The drums don't switch up. Like, the guitar is just simple. Like, it's really cool. But like, my voice sounds so cool on it. Like, I'm just like, yo, this is it. This is it. Like, right here. And I don't know why, but like, I was talking to Jack, like Jack Kobe. Jack Kobe is like a beautiful producer. And he's been helping produce a lot of like the album, and like just like working with me and stuff. And we made a few songs that like were too much. Like, I got Unusual Demon on one of the songs, and basically we were just like, oh, like, I feel like we were just trying too hard because Demon was there, because like, we love Demon. Like, Demon's fire. Like Amber, like, all those songs are so beautiful, and like, he's like a huge inspiration for a lot of like me, and like, I love Demon. So I was just like in the studio with Demon, like, we made this song, and I felt like we were trying too hard. And I like forgot that like there's a simplicity to everything, where we were just like, we could have just kept the drums going and then maybe switching up the melody every now and then, you know? That's like, that's a good way to be fluid, you know? And like, that's like where I think my album is going, you know? Like, just like, just the simplest, simple, beautiful. It's simple, but beautiful.
That's really beautiful to hear. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, if I was gonna be like a super lazy, boring music journalist, I would then now go like, and now Radiohead has to watch out because the next Radiohead is here. But I won't do that. Instead, I'll just say that I'm really glad I got to talk to you today, and I'm really keen to see what you do next. Like, thank you for sharing your heart with me, honestly. Like, I really do appreciate candidness in that.
Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for checking this out. Be sure to subscribe to The New Exchange via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you stream podcasts. Until next time, thank you for listening.